We're back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. In the perfect football season that was the 1972 Dolphins, Nick Bonacani was the muscle of the team's defense. He was the middle linebacker hunting down running backs and receivers as the Dolphins made history that year. That perfect season, along with Bonacani's 13 other NFL seasons, plus his college and high school seasons, were not worth what he's fighting now, he says.
I can't remember how to tie a tie. I can't remember how to lace my shoes. My left arm won't do what my brain tells it to do. The answer would be no, I would not have played football.
Bonacani spoke with Sports Illustrated, giving fans an unvarnished and very personal look at his struggles today. He's 75. He has trouble dressing himself, as he mentioned. He gets confused. He's off balance. And he has trouble remembering things and collecting his thoughts.
I got neurocognitive and neurocognitive and neuromotor deficiencies. And they're only getting worse. They're not getting better. It's just a damning way to finish your career.
Bonacani is not alone. Several members of that perfect season team have experienced similar struggles. The worry is CTE, brought on by concussions and thousands of hits to the head suffered by football players, not only in the NFL, but in high school and college. Does the risk of head injury affect how you feel about football as the science evolves? Will the stories like Nick Bonacani's make you turn off the NFL on Sunday afternoons this fall? Do your kids or your grandkids play tackle football? 800-743-WLRN on the Florida Roundup. That telephone to join the conversation, 800-743-9576. Linda Robinson is along with us here, columnist for the Miami Herald. Linda, what was your reaction when you read about Bonacani's health and saw the video that Sports Illustrated posted as well?
Well, it was alarming. It's heartbreaking. He's declined at an accelerated rate the last year or so, after showing some mild symptoms like 4 years ago. And of course, the Bonacani family has been hit by tragedy before. So with son Mark was paralyzed when he made a tackle as a college football player
in 1985. Yeah, right.
So, you know, and the sad thing about Nick is that he really personified that that era of the Dolphins and that perfect season team, just a really tough but very eloquent, very smart guy. He was an undersized linebacker, mm-hmm. and just sort of, you know, epitomized what those Dolphins stood for. And to see him in such a state is very sad. But he wants people to, he did this on purpose. And he wants people to know about what's happening to these older players.
When you talk about what he means for Dolphin fans in that 1972 season, I want you to listen to something from NFL Films. This is how NFL Films describe Bonacani and the Super Bowl VI, the one they lost against the Dallas Cowboys.
The Miami Dolphins defense was built on speed and pursuit, and those traits were personified by Nick Bonacani, their middle linebacker. The Cowboys' strategy was to take his best assets and convert them into liabilities.
He's tough, he's strong, he's got great recognition and great lateral movement. He'll really go after the play. Therefore, we have to control him.
That was Dallas Cowboys coach Tom Landry speaking about Nick Bonacani back in 1972 ahead of that Super Bowl VI. And that was a game that he talks about in this article that he doesn't remember at all because of the hits that he was taking on defense.
Yeah, he made a hit, I think, in the third quarter, and he blacked out, and he has no recollection of that Super Bowl.
He's not alone amongst his perfect season teammates to be dealing with these kinds of degenerative challenges.
Right. If you look at what's happened in recent years with the research into CTE, which is a degenerative brain disease, of the 100-plus NFL players who have donated their brains post-mortem to research, 96% of them have been found to have this disease. And it's showing is that, you know, what seems obvious now, maybe wasn't so obvious then, is that repetitive trauma to the head is going to damage your brain permanently and progressively. And I think what Nick and even Mark, having talked to them over the years, they were in real denial about the violent repercussions of this violent game for many years. And now that Nick is ill, I think they've both come to realize, you know, that the consequences of playing football are very dire.
Mark Buttigieg, Nick's son, suffered that tragic paralyzation in 1985 as a college football player. And Nick has had never blamed football for it. He thought it was a freak accident. And Mark even has, as you've reported through the years, had never fully blamed football either. But that has changed considerably in a relatively short period of time for both of them, hasn't it?
Right. I think that's really the most tragic part of the story, is that both father and son, who were defined by the way they played the game, both of them undersized linebackers, have to change their minds about the game that they loved. They still loved watching. Nick was a TV analyst for many years.
For 20 years with HBO.
Yeah,
right?
And they still watch the game every weekend and, follow it closely. And now, Mark says he would be hesitant to recommend that any parent allow their child to play the game.
Well, let's hear from the audience. Have the revelations from the Buttigieg family lately, as well as what we continue to learn more about concussions and the role of concussions and the threat and risk of concussions in tackle football, has it impacted how you view and consume this incredibly popular sport? Has it changed how you look at your son or your grandson or your nephew, maybe, who is playing tackle football? 800-743-9576. Any special precautions that you've taken, allowed maybe your son to be a kicker but not a linebacker, trying to mediate it that way? 800-743-9576. We're speaking with Linda Robertson, the columnist for the Miami Herald, who has reported on the Buttigieg family for a good long time. The NFL agreed to a $1 billion settlement over concussions. This is something that Nick Buttigieg has called a joke. Is he in line for any financial assistance from this kind of settlement?
Yeah, the problem with the settlement is there are many, many loopholes, and Nick, as an attorney, would understand this. And it really skews against the older players, because what the league can argue is that, well, you're an old person, so of course you're going to have these problems.
So how much do we know came from playing against the Cowboys in 1972?
Exactly. Yeah. Right, and how much is it simply old age and the natural, what happens to you as you get older and you start forgetting things and you start having joint problems and you start having aches and pains and maybe signs of dementia and Alzheimer's and senility. So for Nick and for a lot of the players, pre-1993 players are particularly shortchanged in this settlement. So I believe Nick would be eligible for around $130,000. Which is a drop in the bucket for
total,
the type
not
of,
per year, but total.
Total. Yeah. Right. And he's very well off. He had a very successful career, and he lives very well. But for many players, they were making the salaries back then. I talked to Jim Langer yesterday. He was a center, Hall of Fame center for the Miami Dolphins. He was making $26,000 in 1972.
Yeah.
So a lot of these older players are not well off, and the cost of testing and treatment and having a caregiver, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Per year, absolutely. 800-743-9576. Has the revelations from Nick Buttigieg, the Hall of Fame linebacker from the Miami Herald, changed your opinion regarding watching football or even playing football? Let's go to West Palm Beach on the telephone. Gordon, you are on the radio. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing? As a child growing up in the greater Miami area, we watched the 72 Dolphins growing up. I've got three sons. Two of them played tackle football. Growing up, those guys were heroes in my mind. We sat in the end zone in the MacArthur Dairy section for 50 cents a game. And it was these guys were heroes. It's so sad to see their predicament now. I know Nick Buttigieg's son was paralyzed. this was in a sandlot game. Even though he was a college football player, he was playing in his backyard.
No. He was playing for the Citadel, and I believe in full uniform in a sanctioned college football game.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was a sandlot game that.
No, this is full pads, helmet, all the traditional uniform you'd expect in the mid-1980s. And Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah, he tackled. I think it was a third down play, and he tackled the running back for no gain. They've since become good friends, but it was a devastating hit. He dislocated his neck and was paralyzed from the neck down.
Gordon, has any of this changed as these stories have come out, certainly regarding the 72 team, but even more broadly, has it changed any of your appetite for professional
Absolutely.
Football?
Absolutely. I have three sons. One of my sons, a 13-year-old, had his, with an over-exuberant coach trying to toughen him up, had his growth plate snapped on his leg at 13 years old, and his leg has been 2 inches shorter for the rest of his life. I played sandlot tackle football. I had my L4, L5 vertebrae snapped when I was 15 years old playing Pop Warner football. I've got a nephew who's playing now, and he's 10 years old in full pads, getting his head bashed in. I tell you what, seeing what I see now, and I'm talking some of the greats, Jack Lambert from the Pittsburgh Steelers, et cetera, I can go down the line. It's sad. It's sad. Yeah. It's gladiators in a modern age, and it's wrong.
Gordon, we appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for joining us from West Palm. We want to continue in Palm Beach County with Michael on line six. Michael, you're on the radio. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Hey, how are you, sir? Well, filling in with the gentleman, you know, I played football. You know, we played Carroll City and you know, Vero Beach High. You know, I can remember not being able to feel my face, you know, doing kickoff coverage. And I have two children. My boy's 13. My youngest is 9. Baseball, tennis. I just don't see the benefit of the football. You know, I'll tell this. When I was in high school, I remember Charlie Ward gave up the football to play basketball. And at that point, I was, you know, deep in football. And I was like, oh, Charlie Ward is stupid. How could he do that? Probably the smartest thing he ever did. He played a lot longer in the NBA than he ever would have on the football field. And I just think if you really think about it, you know, I'm 39. If I played golf, I'd be up here with Tiger at the PGA National hitting balls. But they say you're lucky to play 3 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think it's a no-brainer if you really think about it just in those terms. And I'm not even talking about price and money. You got the Astros just built the stadium here. It's just a no-brainer, even if you look at it from a financial point. So
Michael, appreciate the thoughts, absolutely. Linda Robertson with the Miami Herald. Do you think part of the motivation of the Bonacata family with Nick's profile in Sports Illustrated, Mark coming out and really evolving his attitude, are they doing this for a broader reason? You've covered the family. You know Mark. Is there another motivation beyond letting the fans in?
Well, I think, you know, you've seen through their dedication to the Miami Project to Cure Paralysis that they really want to help people. And I think this was a conscious decision on Nick's part to use his status to push the NFL to do better by its older players, and also just to make people more aware of the dangers of the game. And possibly to change the game. I mean, I don't think football is going to go away. It's by far the most popular sport in our country. And part of its appeal is the violence of the game. But there are things that are being done now at the grassroots level, trying to teach kids how to tackle properly. They've instituted rules in the NFL penalizing players for using, you know, the head as a weapon.
But the argument is you're penalizing several thousands of dollars, penalizing a multimillionaire for those kinds of hits. That the penalty simply just isn't enough to act as a deterrent for some of these folks, and especially when you have the past scandals, the New Orleans Saints, for instance, when they would put bounties on other players.
Right, and if you talk to these guys, even the older guys who are now, you know, suffering greatly. I mean, to a man, I've never talked to a player who said he wouldn't do it all over again.
Is that right?
They love the game. Yeah. They love what the game gave to them,
so
and they wouldn't change anything.
So Nick's revelation to Sports Illustrated to say that, no, he wouldn't do it. Does that come as a shock to you to come from a guy like Nick Bonacani?
It is shocking, especially from, well, actually, you know, if you think about Nick, he was always a little bit different. Just a very, very sharp guy.
Yeah.
He didn't need to play football.
Right.
He actually wanted to play baseball.
Baseball at Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. And, you know, he got his law degree at a young age. I think he did it because it was lucrative at the time and he wanted to, you know, help his family. But he always felt like, you know, he didn't need football and he could have done something else. So maybe not quite so shocking with Nick, but you know, any pro athlete, I mean, the adrenaline high and the adulation and the competitive, just the competitive drive that they all had, yeah. It's hard for them to say that they wouldn't do it all over again.
Linda Robertson, columnist for the Miami Herald, thanks so much for sharing your perception with us. We appreciate it. We've got plenty more to come here on the Florida Roundup. Stick with us, talking about the temporary protection status for thousands of Haitian immigrants in South Florida. Could it end this summer? That's next on the Roundup.